Hour number three on a Friday. I am so glad and kind of sorry we asked now. All right, Trey Elling is out on the golf course here at Hyatt Lost Pines. I'm going to believe he's out there, even though Tom McKay of Audio Visual Consultation says he has no positive ID, no visual positive ID on Trey and his group, but he is supposed to be out there. It's the Mullet Open, the 21st annual Mullet Open, and it all benefits the Burke Center for Youth. As I mentioned earlier, you can go to burkecenterforyouth.org and donate today. I'm Chad Hastings. Isaiah Collier back in the Horn Studios. We always appreciate his great work. That means the music will continue. He's been stumping me all day. That Linda Ronstadt song I didn't even know was hers. Dr. Feelgood, the artist, not the Motley Crue song. I'm completely confused. Shout out to our crew out here as well. Christina was out here earlier. Derek Cohen, BJ Walters, on-site engineer, making sure we're set up and ready to roll. Thanks to everybody for getting out here and getting it set up. Also, thanks to all these incredible sponsors, all of our great partners. Tom McKay stopped by from Audio Visual Consultations. They're going to give away an 86-inch screen. I got a 60-incher at the house, and I thought I'm doing all right. Apparently not. 86 inches is your biggest screen possible right now, according to Tom. So they're going to give that away a little later on. Shout out to Tito's Handmade Vodka, my favorite vodka in the world, and they are a big part of it out here as well. So shout out to Tito's. Also, there's some great raffle items that will be raffled off. There's also some incredible auction stuff that they have available, and we will get into some of that. We also want to talk some other things with our next guest. He's been out and about. He's been floating. He's been drinking. He's been yelling and screaming at people. He is the legendary Brad Kellner, ladies and gentlemen. Houston sports radio legend, Brad Kellner. How are you?
I appreciate the introduction.
Yes, sir.
I don't deserve it, but I appreciate it.
It doesn't really matter when it comes to introductions.
And I was not yelling or screaming at any kids.
No?
Just so we know.
No, not at kids. I'm assuming you were yelling at adult golfers and things.
Oh, no. I was just yelling at random people.
Just random.
No kids, just adults.
You find adults to yell at.
Yes.
Yeah. So, so first off, just give us, I've been inside here nice and comfy. Give me a weather report. How hot is it out there?
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. Good cloud cover, which is nice. A little bit of a breeze, so hopefully the guys on the course aren't miserable out there. The weather for me was a little bit better because my lower half was in water for the last 2 hours.
That's always good.
Showing in the lazy river. But could be worse. We've had worse days this time of year in Austin. So cloud cover and wind is definitely helping everybody out there.
All right. So what I'd like to do for your time with me today, you've been nice enough to offer to maybe even hang out for the whole hour, which I'm excited about.
Come on, man.
I would like to let you talk about some things that maybe you don't get to talk about in your job as a Houston sports radio legend. Let's talk some Dallas area stuff.
Beautiful.
Let's talk some Texas Longhorn stuff.
Beautiful.
And maybe some college sports and, you know, things like that. First off, I was mentioning these auction items over here. There's some really cool stuff for you Longhorn fans and fans of other teams as well. But the Vince Young just about to get to the corner of the end zone picture is wonderful, mainly because you get a good shot of Frosty Rucker in bed.
It's the perfect picture.
Oh, my God.
It really is. And, like, without the signature, it'd be a great gift. But because it's signed by VY, that makes it one of the best gifts that you could find out here. So they do a good job with the silent auction every year. And the best thing is you don't have to be playing in the golf tournament to get in on this. Like, if you're driving through Bastrop right now and you want to sign up, you can sign up and register. So that's I'm with you, man. That is one of the coolest things here. We've got the Bob Lilly Cowboys.
Yeah, that Bob Lilly picture is
signed photo with the Hall of Fame emblem at the top left.
That's awesome. The commemorative for Tiger's win in 2019 at the Masters, making him a five-time champ. That's cool. The Willie Nelson. You see the black and white Willie Nelson picture?
It's well done.
Oh, with the guitar. That is phenomenal
there
stuff.
Is an obvious worst thing here, though, Chad.
Okay.
And it's something that I know it's for charity, but we shouldn't have to be paying for.
Okay.
We should be paid to get this item.
I see. You're saying somebody should be, they should get that and hand them also $20 and tell them to get out of here.
I just walked by. There are no signatures on the bid sheet for the silent auction for this item. It is a Texas Longhorn football helmet autographed by Tom Herman.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should have to pay for that.
Now, the question is there blood on the crown of it from where he might have headbutted the player wearing it?
That would make it maybe worth $5.
Maybe $5.
But yeah. Outside of that, I don't know if it's worth anything.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Right, why don't we start with a little Longhorn football news in a way. Jordan Addison did make his choice yesterday. Not a big shock that he picks USC, but it was USC in Texas. Tuscaloosa trip didn't happen. Maybe that's part of why Jimbo Fisher's mad. We'll get to all that. Didn't end up in Columbus. I thought that might have been an idea if he was looking for the real football path for next year. But what'd you make of that whole story in terms of Jordan Addison going to USC? And give me a thought on the Texas receiving corps.
Yeah, disappointing, obviously. I mean, with the Brennan Marion addition to the Texas coaching staff, you felt like the Longhorns had a chance. Now, I'll be honest, Chad, I've been worried this whole time because right when the Longhorns hired Brennan Marion, I was like, okay, I expect Addison to enter the portal and maybe he's coming to Texas. Right after the hire happened, Addison's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. I'm finishing my career at Pitt. And I'm like, okay. And then when he entered the portal 2 months later, I'm thinking, man, Lincoln Riley's getting everybody out there at USC. And if you're an offensive player, you get the chance to be coached up by Lincoln Riley. You get the chance to live in Los Angeles to do it. I figured once Addison entered the portal, Texas was a little bit of an underdog. If it happened right when Marion took the job here, I would have felt good about it. But because he waited a little bit, he originally recommitted to Pitt before he entered the portal, I always felt like USC was the favorite this time around. So disappointing. The good news is Texas has top-end talent in the receiver room. They don't have a lot of depth there, and Sark has openly talked about that time and time again. But look, if Worthy and if Whittington and if Nayer coming in from Wyoming, if those guys can stay healthy, you've got a really good top three that's one of the better top threes in the country. Obviously, getting the Biletnikoff winner and adding some extra depth there would have been huge for this team. If they can avoid catastrophic injury there, they've got a pretty talented wide receiver room. But, look, we know Whittington's history. We're not quite sure how Nayer is going to develop going from the Mountain West to the Big 12. So it's still a little bit of a question mark, and you understand why Sark was trying to upgrade there in that wide receiver room.
Yeah, so if you missed that, Longhorn fans, yeah, Jordan Addison does end up at USC. He and Caleb Williams are both from the D.C. area. Some people thought that maybe that – relationship might have been a big part of it. So, man, Lincoln Riley, talk about getting a couple guys. Lincoln Riley gets one of his guys to go with him and then ultimately gets the Biletnikoff winner to show up.
Saban should have called out USC instead of A&M.
Yeah.
I mean, what is Lincoln Riley doing out there? The good news for Texas fans is it's out of the conference. It's at USC. It's not Oklahoma. But, yeah, now USC is taking advantage of NIL, and they're obviously taking advantage of the new head coach.
All right, so now let's get into this. Let's get into this college football stuff because you're getting to watch it as a third party observer, but as a fan of a team that has asked for and been granted permission to come to that circus. So in 2010 and 2011, I remember saying to my dad, as you know, I'm an Aggie, he's an Aggie. We're talking about it, and I'd say, you realize this is where we're saying we want to go, right? We are asking to go here. They're saying we might actually come. And so now it's the same thing I'm saying to you Longhorn fans. Yeah. You realize this is where you want to go. So you're watching this third party. Give me a general thought, and we'll dig in on Saban and Jimbo.
Well, selfishly, I think it's awesome because the one thing I miss most about doing radio in Austin is, look, college football is secondary in Houston. It is. It's a pro sports town. So the fact that college football was the number one story in a pro sports city in the middle of May. I mean, any time of the year, that's a big deal. But in the middle of May, to get college football as the biggest story that we were talking about yesterday on the air down there is huge. It's awesome, man. I mean, I love drama. I love storylines like this. It's a little bit of craziness because it's going against the family, right? I was thinking about The Godfather. Like, you never speak up, you never take sides against the family,
right?
You've got SEC coach going against SEC coach, and they're back and forth right there. But man, it was awesome. And Jimbo Fisher's press conference, it lived up to it. I mean, when I saw that he was going to have one yesterday at 10 a.m., I was pumped. I set a million alarms to make sure I wasn't going to miss it.
Yeah.
And he lived up to the hype. That's one of my favorite sports press conferences of all time. So, man, it's hypocrisy galore. I think both guys don't look great. I think Nick Saban looks worse than Jimbo here, but it's two guys who are throwing stones from glass houses, if you ask me. There's some hypocrisy on both sides here.
Now, is that throwing stones from glass houses or throwing darts when you have no glass in your house? Because that analogy from Jimbo, I had to listen to like five times. What is he talking about?
Yep.
Kind of missed that one.
That works too.
Yeah.
And, man, how about Jimbo saying Nick Saban needs to get slapped upside the head? That was pretty spectacular too. So, look, it's one of those, like, is all pub good pub thing for college football? Like, we know, and I've heard you talking about this, and I know we've talked about it, everybody's talked about it, like, NIL is out of control. We've opened up Pandora's box, and people are trying to get the toothpaste back in the tube. People spilled paint, and they're trying to get the paint back in the bucket. It's going to be tough to do, but this thing has been unregulated to the nth degree. And I give Texas A&M a ton of credit for taking advantage of it. Like, there's a part of me that wish Texas did a little bit more of the shady stuff, quote-unquote, to make sure that they got a great recruiting class. Like, Texas A&M took advantage of it. Nick Saban doesn't like losing. We know this.
Right.
And I said it earlier on B&E. Nick Saban has lost three times in the last year to Jimbo Fisher. Lost on the field in October, lost in recruiting, and I think he lost yesterday in terms of the court of public opinion. Nick Saban does not like losing. I think he might have felt threatened by somebody having a better recruiting class than him. And I think it's important to remember where he said what he said, right? It was in front of a bunch of Alabama boosters. I think it was more of a call of, hey, look at what they're doing. We need this. Like, if you don't,
I had that thought too.
If you don't want us to lose our dynasty here in Tuscaloosa, we're going to need you guys to step up, because now the playing field's a little bit more even. Now other schools can do what maybe we've been doing but not willing to admit behind the scenes. So I think a lot of it was that. But, man, it's awesome that Jimbo reacted the way that he did. Once again, college football is the biggest story in the sports world in the month of May. I think it's pretty cool.
So I'm going to ask you the question that I think somebody should have asked Nick and should have asked Jimbo. Tell me what you think they each think of when they hear the phrase buy a player. Nick says, you bought every single one in the class. I didn't buy one.
Yeah.
Jimbo flips out, says, I'm not a liar and I'm not a cheat and all this. They each have it in their mind what it is. What do you think they mean by that, by buy a player?
Yeah, look, what I think is, and it's funny because Nick Saban was openly bragging about Bryce Young's NIL deals last year. And I think Nick Saban is playing the semantics game, Chad. So I think Nick Saban is saying that we wait until our players get on campus before we get them NIL deals and get them paid. And he's accusing Jimbo of saying, we're going to get you paid. Like, if you come here, we got you right away. And it's a semantics game that Saban's trying to play, but I think it's ridiculous because there's no way in hell Nick Saban in Alabama is not using NIL as part of its recruiting pitch to get guys on campus. So I think the semantics game is, hey, we're waiting till our guys get here before we get them NIL deals, and Jimbo is like paying them to get to campus and ensuring they have NIL deals. So I think that's kind of the crux of Nick Saban's argument. And look, Jimbo clearly believes that there's no evidence out there to get him in trouble. Right, he wouldn't have had the press conference. He wouldn't have said everything he said as vehemently as he said it if he thought there was any chance that he was going to get in trouble and that Texas A&M was going to get caught. Once again, I think A&M took advantage of an open window. Nobody's regulating NIL. I mean, Mark Emmert stepped down. He didn't want to deal with this.
Right.
The NCAA has done nothing. The states don't really want to mess with this. They've got bigger fish to fry. There was a window right there open for these schools to really take advantage of NIL, and I think Texas A&M did that. And there's a part of me, Chad, there's a perfect thing Jimbo could have said, in my opinion, and there's an even more perfect thing that Nick Saban could have said, in my opinion.
All right.
If Jimbo said, yeah, we're offering NIL to our players, and if you want to come to Texas A&M, we're going to pay you more than anybody else. Look at Forbes. We're the most profitable athletic department in the country. Uh-huh. If you come here, we'll take care of you. To me, that's awesome for recruiting. Like, I wish a coach would be like, oh, no, this is like kind of legal now, so we got you. And Nick Saban's retort could be, well, at least we're winning with our paid players.
Right.
He came out and said that. It's like, oh, okay, that works too. So it's the first college coach, Chad, who admits to doing some shady stuff to get their guys on campus will immediately become my favorite college coach of all time. It's still taboo to say that you're paying guys, but anybody who's followed college sports for years knows this has been going on, and now it's more legal than it's ever been.
Brad Kellner, nice enough to give me a little time today. He's going to be hanging out this whole hour. Real quick, tell the people where they can check out all your stuff online, social media, all that good stuff.
I appreciate that. Yep. Well, ESPN Houston, ESPN975.com is the website if you are outside the listening area. We're on from 3 to 7. Now, I don't want to mess with Ball Don't Lie. I love Rod B. I love Mike Hart, so definitely listen to those guys. But during their commercial breaks, maybe check us out out there. We're all.
Now, are you doing today's show?
No.
Oh, okay.
I took the day off.
I was just gonna say.
I was actually gonna Uber back to Houston real quick and hopefully get there in 45 minutes.
Okay.
Now we're off. We're off today.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite days of the year, man. Always good to see you guys, of course. But what Bucky does for the Mullet Open year in and year out, it's special, man. So this is a day that I hopefully don't miss for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's great to see you, and glad everything's going well. Yeah, as you could imagine, we've, you know, like you said, and it does tell me just, You could tell this story was going to be big when it happened. But the idea that in a Houston, I'm assuming Dallas was the same way. Normally, pro sports towns, like the Dallas folks have to talk about the Mavs, obviously. Right. But I'm sure they had to mix in a little bit of Saban and Fisher as well. Before we get some more thoughts, I did want to point out, Jimbo, you talked about what you thought Jimbo should have said, what Saban should have said. Jimbo said something yesterday that I'm going to advise every person that is ever going to be a head coach in the SEC, never say out loud. I don't cheat and I don't lie.
Mm.
There is no need to say those words. Ever. Ever, ever, never, ever. Why would you do it? I don't get it.
I know. So Jimbo said two things back to back. I mean, line to line. Not during his question and answer. It was during his opening statement. He said, I don't pay players and I didn't break any rules. One of those is true. He didn't break any rules. Like, the beauty of NIL right now is you can get away with doing stuff that you've never been able to get away with. But you shouldn't say that we're not paying guys to get there on campus, because that's kind of what's happening. And now you open yourself up to criticism and a little bit of an NCAA investigation by saying things like that.
And when he went on that eight-minute ramble a few weeks ago on National Signing Day defend himself, the sliced bread thing,
yep.
He went on and on about that part of it. He's trying to, and I couldn't understand it, as a fan, an alum, somebody that, you know, deals with sports radio and stuff. I'm like, well, wait a second. What they're saying you did is okay now.
Right.
So I'm still trying to understand some of these parameters, Brad.
Yeah.
Like guardrails is what everybody keeps saying. That's fine. Call it whatever you want. I don't get all the parameters. I've said for a week or so now, we got to decriminalize the word booster, and we got to let everybody talk to everybody. The idea that Jimbo Fisher sat there yesterday and they said, so, do you have any communication with the collective? And he's like, nope, I have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah.
I thought, well, wait a second. A, I don't think that's true.
Right.
But B, it shouldn't be. He shouldn't be telling the truth there. That can't be the truth. The head coach at the school has no clue what the collective does.
Come on,
are you crazy?
If you're in charge of a program like that, you know what's going on. Like
I would
you
hope.
Should. Otherwise, you're doing a bad job. If you're not in charge of every single element of your program,
is Sark going to tell all your guys gathered at a big booster meeting? Pancakes? I don't know what you're talking
Pancake
about.
Pancake factory?
What's
factory. Going on here?
I don't know what you're saying.
See, that's it's taboo. So Jimbo's been a coach for a long time, right? And he's been a head coach for a decade plus, obviously well before NIL became a thing. And it's still taboo for coaches to admit that they're doing anything related to paying players. Like, they're worried to admit that they know what's going on. Even though right now, like, look, there should be parameters there. But, like, even though right now it's pretty legal. Like, Jimbo Fisher could have said yesterday, oh, yeah. No, we're doing this. We're taking advantage of our resources. We're Texas A&M. We've got a ton of fan involvement. We've got a ton of booster support. We want to make sure our players are taken care of. So that's what we're doing. Like, that is okay to say. That's not breaking any laws, when in the past, if you said something like that, the NCAA is investigating and you're getting punished. Like,
yeah.
I can't help but think about Kelvin Sampson. Like, that dude got punished from the NCAA for sending text messages a few years ago.
Yeah.
The game has changed. Like, now you can get away with stuff like this. One of these days, a coach is going to break the barrier and say, no, we're doing this. But now every coach is still, they're scared. They're worried about the past. They know what it used to be. They're not willing to admit that even though it's kind of legal now with NIL, they're not paying any of their players.
What is Kelvin Sampson thinking? What is Rick Pitino thinking? What is, you know, even those old guys, we were talking with Tom McKay earlier about the SMU stuff. What are the old guys around SMU thinking?
Oh, my goodness.
Right now. What did Eric Dickerson think when he saw a story about, wait, the starting running back at Texas is driving a bright green Lambo around the campus, and everybody's been losing their mind for years about me in a Trans Am?
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine what all those people were thinking.
Yeah, our school got the death penalty, and Texas is getting promoted for hooking up its student-athletes.
Exactly, yeah. And Texas gets to use that car to help host the Biletnikoff winner who might come to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, there was some Raising Cane's chicken tenders in the picture, too.
Chad, college sports is not college sports anymore. I shouldn't say that. College football is not college football anymore. It's minor league NFL football. It's what it is. And on the field, it's always kind of been that, because there's no NFL minor league. So the NFL takes advantage of the free marketing they get from college football. Dude, these guys are getting paid. They can become free agents through the transfer portal and can get offered money through the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. They're waiting to get called up to the NFL. That's what college football is. It's in limbo between high school and the NFL. They can get paid like professional athletes. Unless somebody changes this, this is not going away.
Quick question before we get to the break for Brad on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Brad, they want to know if you run into Amber Heard out here at the Hyatt Lost Pines, would you let her sleep in one of Bucky's beds?
100%.
Yeah?
She can sleep on my couch. I'm not sure if I slept in Bucky's room last night. I have no idea where.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that story. You just stumbled into a room. What are you, Robert Downey Jr. before Iron Man? You know, what are you doing?
That's usually a good drunk story. I was stone cold sober last night. I'm driving up from Houston, and Bucky's like, I couldn't remember what room he told me. He told me over the phone what room he was in. I know it was on the second floor.
Okay.
So I went to the second floor. He's like, dude, it's the only one that's going to be open.
He didn't give you a number?
He did. I forgot it.
Okay.
And there were four rooms, like, right around where I thought his number was. Yeah. They were all open. And I'm like, all right, we'll take a chance here.
Now, wasn't he supposed to be in the room?
He was asleep, I think.
He was asleep? You didn't check to see if Bucky was asleep in the bed?
No. Well, I was looking around the living room. It's a suite. So it's not.
Pardon me. I'm sorry.
It's Bucky. Come on.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
He calls the shots around
He's
here.
He's living large.
You know
I got
how he works. So I'm walking around. I'm looking for something that says Bucky God, like something. Give me something in this room that is associated with the Bucks so I know where I am. Couldn't find anything. And I got tired, so I passed out on the couch.
Couldn't find an identifying marker, so you just passed out.
It took me like an hour to fall asleep because I'm like, okay, someone's going to come in or someone's going to come out of a room and be like, who the hell is this kid on our couch right now? Never happened, so I think we're in the clear, but we'll never know, Chad.
That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I got a feeling that Monday on the Blitz there will be some heifer jokes coming off of that story. All right, coming up, why today matters. A little May 20th for you, a Longhorn legend with a birthday tomorrow. We'll get Brad Kellner's thoughts on that. Plus, does he think the Mavs are going to even up this series tonight against Golden State? We'll get his thoughts there, too. I'm giving the DFW kid a chance to talk some DFW today. I'm not asking him one question about the Astros. I promise. This is The Horn.
Yeah! Shirts and skins.
Throw your hands in the air right now, man. Feel this right here. Scott Storch.
It is Friday on The Horn. Trey Elling out on the golf course playing in the Mullet Open. Brad Kellner, nice enough to join me for this hour. Can you identify this one, Brad Kellner?
It's Fat Joe. You a fan of Fat Joe, Chad?
You know what? I am not.
Okay.
Not that I do not know enough Fat Joe. I'm not going to say I'm not a fan.
Lean back? You've never heard this before? Maybe if we get to the chorus, you'll recognize
I have. Okay, all right, all right. I've probably heard it once we hit the chorus. Fat Joe.
Yeah.
This is Lean Back. Lean Back.
That's it.
That's the thing.
This
okay.
is the one.
This is the beginning of it.
You already know.
All right. I'm glad you're here because otherwise Zay would have just made me feel bad for not knowing this. So, Zay, give me a quick bio on Fat Joe. What age person are we talking about here? Is Fat Joe my age? Is Fat Joe new and breaking? What's going on? Those are your two choices.
Man, wow. Yeah, he's around your age.
Okay.
You remember Big Pun? Rapper Big Pun.
No,
yeah, he's a Puerto Rican rapper from New York. They're both from New York and came up in the 90s. But Big Pun was better. He passed away, and then Fat Joe kind of picked up where Big Pun left off.
Okay, I got you. Now, wait a minute. There's somebody else on the track there. Who is the female voice I'm hearing?
That Remy Ma? I think that's Remy Ma.
I don't even know, Zay. I should know.
Yeah,
you know, still not a player, that song?
Yeah, that's a Big Pun. That's
not
Big Pun,
a player, but I crush a lot. That's
yes,
the
sir.
Clean version.
Yes,
that's,
sir.
That's Big Pun right there. Okay. That's probably his most famous song.
You know, I don't like clean versions of songs, so I'm not going to be familiar with what you're talking about.
We are in the wrong line of work, my
Fat
friend.
Joe, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fat Joe, Dr. Feelgood, Great White, Linda Ronstadt, and Hall & Oates have all been on the show. That's right, Fat Joe and Hall & Oates.
How about that?
On the same show.
What Hall & Oates were we working on?
That was a Hall & Oates I was not familiar with. Zay, do you remember what the Hall & Oates track you played was?
I do not remember.
No, I don't either. It was not one of those first, like 10 or 15 Hall & Oates tracks that I would be aware of. He went beyond that.
Okay.
It was deep track.
Beautiful.
It was a deep dive on that. Thanks to Zay for all of his great work, musically and otherwise. Zay's going to be watching tonight. I know I'll be watching tonight. Brad Kellner, you're watching tonight, Mavs and Golden State?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get into that. Plus, I got a birthday shout-out, and I want to hear your thoughts on one of your favorite Longhorns because, you know, he's Ricky Williams. Let's tell you why today matters, May 20th and 21st.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Before we get to Ricky, do the Mavs even it up tonight?
I think they do. I think Zay's more confident than I am in the Mavs' chances tonight, but I really do. Look, the Mavs lost game one against Utah and came back and won the series. The Mavs actually went down 2-0 against Phoenix and came back and won the series. So they won't be fazed by being down 1-0 in this series. Luka's not going to be as ineffective tonight as he was a couple of nights ago. The Mavs aren't going to shoot whatever it was, 11 for 40-something from three in this game tonight. And Golden State was making shots at a ridiculous clip a couple of nights ago. So, look, I figured game one would be the toughest game for the Mavs to win. I knew there'd be a little bit of a hangover effect from what took place in the Valley in game seven a couple of nights before. Golden State was the more rested team. It's going to be tough, but I feel good about the Mavs' chances to even this thing up 1-1 going back to Dallas.
And, Zay, you like the Mavs to win as well?
Yeah, I do. I don't think they're going to shoot 22% from three like they did last game.
Now let's hope not.
Yeah, and I think that Luka's going to play a lot better too, and they're going to understand the matchups a little more. Again, when you put Draymond on Jalen Brunson, I think that kind of fooled the Mavs a little bit. They're going to be more prepared tonight.
All right, I don't even know, you know, I'm not even sure if I should go with, like, you know, the reverse psychology or whatever. I'm known as a self-loathing fan and all that stuff. But at the beginning, I picked Golden State in six, and my logic was split, and then they win two in a row.
Yeah.
So, because I think they will, I think they can steal that one in Dallas. Because I think they're a little bit, you know, they're a better team front to back to me. So I'll say the Mavs get the split tonight. Picking Golden State to win game one did nothing for the Mavs in terms of a, you know, reverse jinx or help or whatever it was, because they got blown away. So I'll say the Mavs get it done tonight.
And Golden State's been there, done that, right? Like Phoenix, Look, Chris Paul is known for blowing 2-0 series leads. The last time the Suns had a 2-0 lead in a series, it was in the NBA Finals last year. They lost four straight to the Bucks. So Golden State doesn't have that. Like they're used to finding ways to overcome adversity this time of the year. So I'm a little bit worried this is a different animal the Mavs are going up against. Yeah. I had Golden State in six going into this series as well. Yeah. Look, there's a way the Mavs win this thing. I mean, they're playing incredibly well, but Golden State's got a better roster. They're a deeper team. And, man, am I allowed to wish COVID upon somebody? Is that considered bad, Chad?
I would say that's probably cruel, but
okay, what if he just had COVID? Can Steve Kerr get COVID again?
Oh, you want another COVID?
Yeah, because Mike Brown, we saw what, you know, the Warriors lost by 50.
Oh, trust me, I'm with you there. Like, I really wanted to see a game or two of Mike Brown.
Yeah, can we wish it upon the coach? Like, not the players, but the coach. Is that too bad right there?
No, I was wishing the same thing. At least get, you know, find some reason. Maybe not COVID again, but something where you could have Mike Brown be the coach. Yeah, I just think I think there was a lot of the end of that last series that people put on the Mavs, and they did need credit for winning those games, but I just think Phoenix was god-awful. And watching game one, the fear didn't go away. I watched Golden State play really well. And honestly, I don't know that I watched Golden State play that well. I think Golden State still has an A or A-plus game defined throughout a whole game. If Steph and Clay play even better than they did, the Mavs could be in trouble. But, all right, so we're all picking the Mavs to even it up, which probably means Golden State by 18 tonight. Oh, no, it's this NBA, so it's Golden State by 25. Did you hear this stat? 21 games in these playoffs, a 20-point margin or more?
Yeah, you know.
That is so unwatchable.
I was talking about this with D&E. I heard you talking about this too earlier. That it makes no sense. Like, look, playoff anything is always awesome, but these NBA playoffs have been disappointing. And Zay was talking about it earlier. Man, it's not something we have to get rid of as basketball fans and basketball analysts, kind of in our line of work. There's not a team that lives and dies by the three. The whole league lives and dies by the three.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at these blowout games, you see one team shoots like 50% from beyond the arc, and the other team shoots like the Mavs did in game one, where they make 10 out of 40. So that's the whole game right now, and that's why we're getting blowouts, is one team's making all their threes, the other team can't buy one, and that's really what the NBA is. So I'm hoping this is not a trend that we see more moving forward, but it's been something unfortunate for these playoffs for sure.
Definitely has. Tonight is an 8 o'clock or so start on TNT, Dallas, and Golden State. All right, so why today matters, I'll peek into tomorrow to tell you about the 70th birthday of Mr. T. That's obviously important. Also for you rap fans, the notorious B.I.G. would have been 50 tomorrow.
How about that?
And that's a big one.
Wow.
Of course, died back in 1997. But the big one on the, in Longhorn land, BK, is Ricky Williams.
Oh, man.
Ricky will be 45 years old tomorrow. Obviously, one of the statue guys, one of the Heisman guys for Texas. Give me a Ricky Williams thought here.
Man, there are very few people in this life that I meet that I don't think are cool. But Ricky Williams is next level cool, man. Like, I was too young to really understand his career at the University of Texas. I knew who he was in the league and obviously knew what kind of legacy he left behind in Austin. But the first time I got to meet Ricky, it all came together. He's just one of the coolest, most down-to-earth dudes that you will ever meet. And obviously, he means so much for the University of Texas. One of the best college football players of all time. A guy who, look, if he was in this generation of the world, he'd be a Hall of Fame football player. I mean, he had 10,000 yards in the league, and when weed was so taboo back then, it's, oh, you can't do this or you're done. Like, if he could play now when the NFL doesn't test for weed anymore, this guy would be a Hall of Famer, and I think he'd be regarded as one of the best running backs in the history of the league. So, all-time great college player, a guy who had a great underrated NFL career, but a guy that I'm lucky enough to have met a few times in the past, a guy that I consider a friend, and man, he's such a good representative for our city and for the university, and man, hopefully everybody listening to the sound of my voice gets the chance to meet Rick at some point, because he's a cool dude.
He is definitely a cool guy, and he's also, yeah, the weird stat I always throw out on Ricky to make sure people realize, he's got more rushing yards in the NFL than Earl Campbell and than Gale Sayers.
Amazing.
Now,
and he's like viewed as a bust by some.
Right. He's viewed as somehow a failure
right.
in that league.
And look, a ridiculous trade, and he went drafted very, very high, but still he had a very successful NFL career.
He did, and I've said I get why he's not a Hall of Famer, but I still think even today there might be an argument. You could make it. I don't know that you'd get him in,
yeah.
But I think there's an argument to be made because there was that stretch for, you know, a good 2 to 3, 2 to 4 years where he was extreme. He just was dominant, a unique talent to watch. As a third-party observer that wasn't a Longhorn fan, I mean, just the combination of the size, the speed, everything that he brought, there's just only – I mean, there's a handful of people I would even bring up. Like, it's kind of Thurman Thomas to me, but not exactly. It's kind of Walter Payton, but not exactly. There's a Earl, like, Earl was Earl, but Ricky had a little something different to him. And the compliment I always give him is, I don't think I ever saw Ricky Williams arrive at the 5-yard line and not get to the end zone.
And you got to see it against your team.
I got to see it. I got to
have that respect and admiration for the guy that tells you something.
In fact, I've got so much respect for Ricky. There's a game where my team faced him. My team won, and I still refer to the game with his name in it. I still call the 97 A&M win over Texas Ricky in the Rain.
Yep.
That's what I call the game because I sat there and I watched it, and I know deep in my soul if he doesn't get hurt that day, Texas probably wins.
Yeah.
I know it in my heart because I watched how hard he was going, and he tweaked that ankle, and I think it changed that ball game. So I still give that game his label even though my team won the game.
How about that? And that's something you don't see that often in today's college football. Like, you think about how good Bijan is. Well, the team can go 5-7 because you need other things besides a running back. Back then, just give the ball to your running back 30, 40 times a game. He'll take over. He can go win you any game on your schedule.
The other thing I loved, and this is, I think, good for you as a younger Longhorn fan to hear since you weren't there in the stadium, but one other thing I loved about it, I had buddies, and I dated a girl at UT at one point and had buddies that were at UT. I actually, this is where the Aggies just turned me off and want to throw me in a river. I literally was in a group that had season tickets for 98. And so I went to every home game that year, including Ricky breaking the record against the Aggies, all that stuff. And the thing I loved watching and listening to was what Texas fans became around that offense. Because I always say, Texas fans, if you show it to them, make it legit, show them how they can be successful, they'll back anything. They will back any idea, right? And this idea was, oh, we're going to hand him the ball a lot. When Major Applewhite would play fake to Ricky Williams, the crowd would go, oh.
Yeah.
You could literally feel them being upset.
That's amazing.
If he play faked and rolled out, if they actually – and they could throw. I mean, they, you know, Major could roll back and hit like a 65-yard touchdown. They'd cheer.
Right.
But it wouldn't quite feel the same as if he'd handed the ball to Ricky.
Yeah, if Ricky busted one for 65,
Once they realized Ricky didn't have the ball, they lost a little interest in the play. It was a fantastic thing to watch. And they also, Brad Kellner, would cheer a 4.5-yard run in a way I have not heard them do since. Not one other guy since then has made them cheer it like that. Man, they would appreciate 4.5-yard runs, 6.5, just getting to the pylon. Man, they'd get jacked for that. They so became absorbed in what Ricky was doing.
He was a larger-than-life figure. And I think about, look, we talked about what Ricky could have been in today's NFL. Think about name, image, and likeness.
Oh,
Ricky Williams.
Good
the
Lord.
The effect he had on UT fans, with the effect he had on the Austin community.
Yeah, just hair care.
That guy would have cashed in a big, big way.
Yeah, and he did help to change the thing. The, one of the greatest shirts they ever made was that Heisman reference with the dreads on it.
Yes.
The Heisman Trophy with the dreads. Yeah, think about how much he could have benefited from people walking in, and whether it was an 11 jersey in the early days or a 34 jersey later on, or a limited edition 37 jersey when he was giving love to Doak.
Man.
All that stuff that he could have made. I look across and I see that apple white jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know that's what it should have been for years, that people should have been able to have that name. You go by the name, and then those guys get a little scratch. Ricky could have got some serious NIL scratch.
No doubt. Another reminder, you don't have to be playing in this tournament to get in on this silent auction. Heisman Replica Trophy, signed by Ricky and Earl over there.
Oh, I see it over there now.
Uh-huh.
Wow,
so if you
cool.
want to get in on this, if you're enjoying the conversation, you want to celebrate the birthday boy a little bit, this is a nice prize for your place.
Nice play.
Uh-huh.
Nice play. We're at the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort. Come on out here and, hey, stay sometime. Maybe Brad will be in one of your rooms when you check in. He might be
We'll see where I end up tonight, Chad.
He might be passed out. All right, coming up, we'll get you stems and seeds before we get out of here, get you set up for that Mavs game tonight. Also, hitting some more big stories. Update the PGA for you one more time as well. Justin Thomas had a nice day. We'll see who else is threatening the lead coming right up on the horn.
0000. Have openings at every level.
Shirts and Skins.
About to round it out on a Friday. Oh, this one I think I've got. Maybe. Who knows? I might find out that the Beatles wrote this song.
Come on.
And I just didn't know. You got this, right? Come on.
I know the singer. I just don't know if it's solo or if it's
good
singer.
That's a good question to ask. I believe it is the solo Phil Collins here. Zay, is that true?
Genesis?
Oh, it is Genesis.
Oh, it's Genesis.
I wasn't sure if it was solo Phil or if it was Genesis.
Good call. See, I was going to go Phil there. Mm. Apparently, that is Genesis. By the way, as long as we're there in the music world, the people have helped me out. Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me from earlier, written by Warren Zevon, originally done by Linda Ronstadt, and then I was totally off. It wasn't even Patti Loveless. Terry Clark was Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. Terry, the hottie in the hat. Are you kidding me? The one country artist I never, ever wanted to see him take the hat off. Mm. Terry Clark looked so good in that cowboy hat.
Is she bald or something?
No, but when she I'm not saying she was unattractive when she took it off.
It sounds like you're saying she's unattractive when she took it off.
I'm saying.
Which is not what you want to say about any woman. They're not going to like hearing that.
I'm saying she was like a 7.5 to an 8 without the hat and a 10 with it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't just a 10-gallon hat. It was a 10 hat.
I got to see this hat.
It's a hat that turned her into a 10.
All right.
Boy, did Terry Clark look good in that hat back in the day.
I need that hat.
All right. So we had a texter earlier send a great text, and I wanted you to respond to it, but then I lost it.
Mm.
So I'm going to have to try to remember what they said. So this will be fantastic. Here we go. Let's go stems and seeds, and I'm going to try to do it from memory. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
All right, brought to you by AV Consultations. Oh, I found it. AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Tom and the crew can get you hooked up with the AV consultation setup of your dreams, just like they've done for Brad Kellner.
The best.
And many, many others. All right, Brad, here was the text that I can't answer the same way you could. This says, how did Saban lose in the court of public opinion? Only Aggies think Jimbo was right. Earlier you said you thought Jimbo ultimately won the exchange.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of hypocrisy on both sides. Alabama's paid players to go to Alabama in the past, and I think Jimbo and Texas A&M paid players to be a part of this record-breaking recruiting class over there. I just think most college football fans root against Alabama and root against Nick Saban. folks in the state of Texas are like, we'll root against A&M over anything else. If you're a Longhorn fan, you root against A&M over rooting against Alabama. But in terms of the national court of public opinion, if somebody's able to even appear to get one over on Nick Saban, they're going to assume that it's a win for the other guy. So I get that Longhorn fans may be like, what did Jimbo really do here? What did he really prove? But I think the general consensus of college football fans, especially the non-diehards who don't really pay that much attention to what's going on behind the scenes, believe that Jimbo was able to pull one on Nick Saban here.
Who do you root for in October when those two play?
Alabama.
Root for Bama.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
My grandma went there, so I pretend to be
okay,
a fan.
Okay, fair enough.
Actually, no, I hate them. Sorry, Grandma.
Quick.
She's been gone for a long time.
Quick check on the PGA. Justin Thomas threw another 67 out there. He's at -6. Zalatoris up to -5 along with Answer. And then McIlroy slips to -4. He's +1 on the round. The cut line right now is right at that +4, +5 level. +5 looks to be out right now. Tiger Woods at +4. Scheffler +6. So right now, Woods would be just in. Scheffler would be just out in terms of missing the cut.
It felt like Scheffler was due. I mean, he's been the best golfer in the world for a long stretch now. He's been unbelievably good over the last couple of months. So it felt like he was due for a bad tournament like this. And, man, I'm surprised Tiger Woods is still playing today. Like, I watched his entire round yesterday.
See, I didn't watch a ton of it. I saw, like, the first hole, that great shot to the green, but I missed a lot of the
limping. He got off to a great start. And it's not that he was that bad. He was just in so much pain throughout the course of the round. Like, I saw Tiger in more pain yesterday than I saw during any moment at the Masters. So by the end of the Masters, Sunday at Augusta, he looked like he was in serious pain. Yesterday, I wasn't sure if he was going to finish round one, let alone go out there for round two and finish this round. So, obviously, it's better for the sport if he's in the weekend. Hopefully, he makes it.
So, this wasn't just the limp. This was like wincing and pain. You could see it.
After pretty much every shot.
That's not good. All right, a couple more Longhorn thoughts before we get out of here. First off, Brad is on record. He thinks the Mavs are evening it up tonight.
Yes, sir.
Zay and I are going to do that. Say that as well. If the Mavs lose, y'all can blame it on me next week. But
I can't blame it on me anymore.
Can't blame it on you. No,
so
anymore.
Good.
If I'm the self-loathing guy, I say they bounce back tonight. I think they'll shoot better, and it'll be this kind of NBA swing back and forth like we've seen. Some more Longhorn thoughts, though, from you. Looking forward, there's been talk about which pod in the SEC and should they be in there with the Aggies or whatever. Do you have, like, a dream pod if it has to be you and three other teams?
I mean, I just want Texas to play A&M and Oklahoma every year. So if that means they're all in a pod, then sure, put them in a pod. Maybe throw Arkansas in there. You get the old Southwest Conference rivalry. To me, that would be perfect.
You could live with that?
Look, you'd be a little disappointed. That probably means you'd get, like, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky in the same pod. Maybe with South Carolina, it's like that pod clearly sucks. Like, those teams get a couple of free wins every single year, and you've got to go up against a gauntlet.
They'll come up with a better one than
in
that,
your pod.
Hopefully. But
man, like, to me, look, Texas and OU have to play every year. They have to. And that should have been part of the agreement for those two teams to join the SEC, and Texas and A&M should play every year. Like, that's been the thing that I've missed, and I think most fans on both sides, whether they're willing to admit it or not, have missed the most over the last decade, is the fact that that game on Thanksgiving, mind you, has been gone. Hopefully that game comes back.
So you're one of the Thanksgiving guys. You need it on that day.
I don't need it on that day, but it should be on that day. It should be that weekend. If not, maybe Labor Day. I know we've talked about that as a station at times in the past. Like, hey, open up with the conference game.
Dude, that'd be wild if you played it in September.
Put it on that Labor Day Monday or that Labor Day Sunday. Give it a standalone window. Like, that works for me too.
That'd
be nuts. But, man, Thanksgiving has always felt so perfect because there are so many – what's the plural of house, Chad?
Houses.
Houses divided in the state of Texas, where you have Longhorns and Aggies in the same room on Thanksgiving.
Sure.
Watching the game together. That's so perfect. It's big for the state. I would love for that to come back.
Yesterday on the show, Scipio Texts, Paul Wadlington from Inside Texas, said it the way I've never heard it said exactly this simply. He said to him, Aggies are family. Oklahoma is a home invader.
Yeah, well, you don't want them as family because then they'll try to hook up with you.
How dare you? Because he can shoot the home invader, but he wouldn't shoot a family member.
Right.
You know, there's that familial quality to it. I hope the same thing. You know, I could give or take the Arkansas thing in the pod, but I think Texas, Oklahoma, and A&M make sense together. And what I hope is that my people are not arguing to the SEC brass to be out of the pod with Texas.
Oh, man.
I hope that's not happening.
There's a part of me that thinks A&M missed out on a huge opportunity here. And look, Chad, it depends on who you talk to, why the game hasn't been played over the last decade, right? Some Texas fans will say, A&M's ducking. Some A&M fans will say, Texas ducking. the game, like, A&M had a window over the last decade. Think about how bad Texas has been. Think about some of the years A&M has had in the last decade.
Yep.
That could have been a window for them to really take control of the state. We'll see what happens. We'll see if Texas can figure it out by the time they make the move.
Yep, that is obviously coming up. Something else that's coming up is Ball Don't Lie. Mike Hard's off today, off to call some baseball games in the MEAC tournament, and Rod will be running Ball Don't Lie for you coming up. You know there's going to be a lot of thoughts and deep diving on this Saban and Jimbo Fisher stuff. Stay tuned for that. Brad, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you, Chad.
It is the Mullet Open. Thanks to all of our folks for getting it set up. Thanks to Derek. Thanks to BJ. Thanks to Christina. Thanks to Bucky, of course, for everything he does for the Mullet Open. And remember, if you want to go donate to the Burke Center for Youth, burkecenterforyouth.org, you can go make your donation. And like Brad said, if you want to stop by here at Hyatt Lost Pines, you can check out some of these cool auction items as well. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. Also, go to hornfm.com. Check out that 7-on-7 schedule for tomorrow.
See ya!